We're sorry to inform you your request for a second loan has been refused. And the board of directors up in the city has instructed us to take the farm from you. We understand your problems and wish that we could help you, but the falling price of wheat's not our concern, and the cost of operation may well be rising, but the fact is that you lose more than you earn. This Saturday morning there will be an auction underneath a cold gray country sky, and while the rest of the nation is still sleeping, they'll be bidding America goodbye.
South of the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America via satellite, AM and FM stations all across the country, and live and archived on the World Wide Web. This is Govern America, the second hour, and it continues to be the 24th of September, 2011, and we are visiting with Kurt Haskell. Kurt, as we have said in the previous hour, he was aboard the flight, Northwest Flight 253, when Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab set off his underwear bomb, and he's telling us about his experiences during the incident and afterward, and I want to get right back into this. This is a short segment, so we're going to be up against the clock here in a moment. But you were just starting to say, Kurt, that you had a passenger contact you after the FBI interviewed you, and what was that all about?
FBI came in. This passenger calls me out of the blue, and he says, "Hey, Kurt, I've been seeing you on TV. You know, I don't think you saw what you did at the Amsterdam airport, and I don't want you to keep telling a story. When the truth comes out, you're going to look really stupid." And he said, "What you saw was an unaccompanied minor being escorted onto the flight by a security agent." And I said, "Well, no, this was a teenager, you know, an older teenager, maybe like 15, 16. And I asked him if he saw this, and he said, "No, I didn't see it, but I saw the minor once we landed in Detroit with the, you know, the escort." And then I thought this was really strange, and I started looking into it, and I found out that the airline admitted that there were no unaccompanied minors on the flight. And not only that, but you have to be under the age of 12 to have an escort if you're a minor. So, and there's no way Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab looks like he's 11 years old. I'm sorry. So I started looking into the background of the passenger that called me, and I found out he works for a company that gets a substantial amount of its funding from the Department of Defense.
Now, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, so that was pretty interesting to me. And I actually looked him up again this week to see, you know, if he had changed careers or something. I see that he went to a new company, another new company that gets a substantial amount of funding from the State Department, the Department of Defense, and donations from Congress members.
Now, so, didn't you say that there were a number of passengers on board that flight that actually also had defense contracting positions or ties in some way to the federal government?
Yeah, I was told by a reporter that nearly everyone on the flight was a military, worked for the military, was a government contractor or a government employee, and there were some passengers that were just foreign citizens, and not too many just private U.S. citizens at all.
Wow, that's incredible. All right, let's take a break here, and then we have a longer segment straight ahead. Folks, this is Govern America, visiting with Kurt Haskell. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Back. This is Governor America. I'm Darren Wicks, visiting with Kurt Haskell, an attorney from Taylor, Michigan, and he was talking about his ordeal aboard Flight 253 on Christmas Day in 2009. And you just relayed the experience with having another passenger on the flight try to convince you that you didn't see what you actually saw, and then you said you had looked into his background and realized that he was he had ties to the Defense Department, a contractor of the Defense Department, and then you said you were told by a reporter that a lot of the people, or most of the passengers on the flight, they also had ties to the Defense Department. Now, I take it you have called and talked to and maybe are in communication with other passengers, so I would presume that not everyone on the flight are necessarily Defense Department contractor employees. What have your interaction with other passengers, aside from this guy who called you, been like? I know there's probably, you're about the only one that really has come forward, right?
That's come forward and said, yeah, the government's behind this, correct. Do you mind if I hit on a couple other points before I get
sure,
into
absolutely.
That? Okay, a couple other things I think are important. Early on, back when this was first going on, the Dutch military police come out and say, Umar did not go through normal security measures at the airport. This was reported in, I think it was the News Herald Scotland or something like that. The only paper to report on this at all. So, again, for me, this is just another piece of the puzzle confirming my story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was escorted around security. Exactly. And then, you know, we have the U.S. government continually denying the existence of the sharp-dressed man. And Obama comes out and says, you know, this was all just a series of mistakes. You know, that's it. And by that point, the mainstream media quit talking to me. You know, my story was at odds with what President Obama had said. So, no, we're not talking to that guy anymore. But interestingly enough, about a month after the incident, ABC News comes out in a story by Brian Ross and says, hey, the government has now told me that they're looking into the existence of this sharp-dressed man. You know, the government had blown off, or whatever the words they used, you know, the testimony by passengers as to existence, but now they think he might have been involved. So to me, this was another great admission confirming my story. Again, only reported once, but it was ABC News. The article's still on the Internet. I think it's from January 22nd or 3rd, 10th, something like that. So I'm starting to put all the pieces together early on. I'm starting to get somewhat of a clear picture, although some of the details are kind of fuzzy still.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's a cover-up here, and I get somewhat of a picture of what's going on about him going through security. I'm still puzzled, though, as to whether my government would actually put a live bomb on my plane, you know, and try and kill me. I'm not believing this at that point.
Right.
So as time goes on, a protective order is put in place by Judge Edmonds that says nobody can talk about the evidence. So here we go. You know, the media is now going to propagandize whatever they want. We're not going to get the real evidence, which we see by the government putting out pictures of his passport. Again, why are they showing pictures of a passport? No other story ever is the media showing pictures of a passport. It's just a shot at my credibility is all it was. Because
well, didn't it take a long time? How long did it take for them to finally produce a picture an alleged picture of his passport?
A picture? I think it was all fairly early. Again, it was just an attempt to discredit me, but here it is. All the news stations all around the country is showing this picture of a passport. Why?
Yeah.
They're taking shots at me. And then they're showing pictures of the bomb in the underwear, and if you look at those, his underwear is pretty much intact in the pictures. So to me, these are just propaganda pictures because his underwear was burned to shreds. There was quite a large fire. But
mm-hmm.
What's that? I know that. You know, this is a cover-up, and I'm watching for these things because I know, you know, what's going on here. So I'm starting to see how the government does things. I'm watching this case from the inside out, and I can see their propaganda. So, you know, this is going on now. And then Umar fires his attorneys. So now he's representing himself. So, again, you know, so he won't have adequate representation. So what do, being an attorney? Hey, he doesn't have an attorney. I'm going to go try and talk to him, see if I can help him out. So I call Milan Prison, which is maybe an hour from my house. Hey, I want to come talk to this guy. He doesn't have an attorney. And I want to see if I can help. And, you know, I call. I kept getting the runaround 5, 6, 7 times. I call. I can't get any answers as to when I can meet with him. So myself and another attorney from my office decided to drive out there to Milan Prison and try and talk to him. And we talked to the guard at the door, and he says, oh, okay, no problem. Let me see if we can set that up right now. I just need to get clearance from the manager of the wing he's in. She's in a meeting. She'll be on in about 10 minutes. I said, great. And I can see them. He takes a copy of both of our driver's license. And I see her come out of the meeting. He shows her the driver's licenses. They have a brief discussion. And then he comes out and he says, you know, you never tried to contact us at all. The only way this can be set up now is by a phone call, and you'll need to go back and call us. So I go back to my office, I call, and then I'm told, you know what, you can never talk to him because he listed a standby attorney on his visitor list, and if he has a standby attorney, no other attorneys can talk to him.
Isn't that convenient?
Isn't that convenient? Yeah, so I think she knew who I was because once she looked at my ID, you know, there was no way I was talking to him. So, again, you can see the pattern developing very, very clearly what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
As to passengers I've talked to, yeah, I've talked to another lady that saw the sharp-dressed man. As far as I know, we're the only two witnesses of him. She's quite scared of the government. She hasn't come out publicly and talked about him, even to today. She's asked me to not identify her, and I haven't done that. So at least I know there's one other witness as to him. You know, and I've talked to the cameraman. There was a lot earlier.
Yeah, that's an important point. There was a guy on the flight, ladies and gentlemen, who videotaped the entire incident, right, Kurt?
That's right. Yep. And there was a lot made of him early on that, hey, he's got to be involved here. He filmed this whole thing. What other explanation is there? And I tried and tried and tried to contact this guy, and he kept ignoring me for a year and a half. You know, all I'd get back would be like an email response from a lawyer, you know, his lawyer, and I never got to talk to him. But a few months ago, I just got a call out of the blue from him. And he's like, hey, you know, I got a notice that the prosecution and FBI agents are coming to talk to me here about my testimony at the trial, and I just wanted to chit-chat with you for a while. So I got to talk to the guy. You know, I was highly suspicious of this guy, too. But after talking to him, I think he's just a red herring. I don't think he's involved. I'm not sure, obviously. But talking to him and with my ability to read people, you know, sure, from what I do for a living, I think I'm pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he was involved, and I think this is the red herring that the government's using to distract people from the ones that were involved, the sharp-dressed man and the man in orange. So, maybe I'm wrong.
Well,
I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean, obviously. But the question that would come to my mind is, why would he be filming the entire incident?
Exactly.
Was he rolling the camera before it even started?
Here's what he said. I asked him that very question. And here's what he said. I had a new camcorder. I was filming out the window as we're coming down, but we're at 20,000 feet, so I don't know what you can film. But anyway. Mm-hmm. He says, I saw and heard the commotion. I turned and just started filming it. That's what he said, you know. It doesn't really sound believable, but from how I talked to him, you know, I think he would have to be one heck of a liar to convince me. But anyway, I don't think he's an important part to this story.
Well, it's certainly another interesting question in a case where there's just no shortage of interesting questions. You know,
right.
I was reading, and I don't know if you've really delved into the background of this Abdulmutallab character or not, but my understanding is that he's actually not from a poor family. He's from a very rich banking family in Nigeria, according to what I've read.
Yes, his dad's one of the richest men in Africa, is my understanding. He's a billionaire, my understanding. So,
and they put a T-shirt on this guy and made him look like he's one of the poorest people on the planet.
Exactly. Right, in the middle of winter. Right, he just looks like some poor kid. Well, that was part of the cover-up, though. He's a refugee from Sudan. You know, that's what how they're trying to portray him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right, I'll tell you what. We're up against the clock here again. We have a caller on the line, and folks, you can join in as well. 800-313-9443. Kurt's going to be able to go through some of the other points he wanted to touch on as well. But you're certainly welcome to call in if you have a question, comment. 800-313-9443 is the number. This is Government America visiting with Kurt Haskell. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-0192. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-0192. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-489-0192. That's 1-800-489-0192.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173, or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
All right, we're back. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks as we continue on here visiting with Kurt Haskell. And I want to go to the phone lines, Kurt, and take a caller. Folks, if you'd like to call in, you're certainly welcome to call 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And let's go to Texas and talk to Mark. Mark, you're on with Kurt Haskell.
Good morning, Darren.
Good morning.
Kurt, when they first smelt the smoke and the situation began to escalate, were the flight attendants under complete control of the situation, or did they ever appear to have a dialogue with someone on the plane during that time, or were they maybe taking instructions from someone on the plane, or was it totally their responsibility?
The flight attendants were in total panic mode. There's one actually standing next to me screaming at the top of her lungs. So they were in total shock. They stood around doing nothing for, I don't know, a minute or so until one of them grabbed a fire extinguisher and then ran over and put out the fire. So okay. They were in total shock like the rest of us.
But at no time did they have anyone extend a dialogue with just one passenger on the plane or anything like that?
No, I didn't see anything like that.
Okay. No. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
No
appreciate
problem.
The call. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was going to say there's quite a few things that have happened in the last 6 months or a year or two that helped me put more of the pieces of the puzzle together, if you want me to get into those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So this was somewhat early on, too, but Congress actually had hearings on this case. I'm sure not a lot of people in your audience know that because the media barely even covered the story. And they didn't cover it because of what the testimony said. You had Patrick Kennedy from the State Department testifying, and what Patrick Kennedy said was, yeah, we knew about Umar or Abdul-Muttalib. We were tracking him. We wanted him to go into the United States because we wanted to have him lead us to other terrorists. At least that's what his story was. Now,
Kurt, I mentioned earlier in this program about the, you know, you probably haven't been following it because you've probably been too busy doing your own law practice and stuff, but we have this Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms operation going on at the border where these guns have been allowed and even facilitated to go into the hands of the drug cartels. And what you just described sounds a lot similar to that same case, you know, where we knew this was going on, we allowed it to happen, you know, and I would suggest if there's any way possible, I don't know if it is, but if we could get that testimony or some audio of that testimony, that would be just monumental.
Oh, it's on the Internet. You can pull it up and watch it on YouTube.
Okay.
And watch. I encourage your listeners to go on there because if you watch Patrick Kennedy, you know, he's questioned in regards to whether this was, you know, how this happened. And you can clearly see he's squirming in his seat trying to not say that this was an intentional act to put him on the plane. He does everything except that. But if you watch him, you can see that that's, in fact, what happened. You know, by his mannerisms, he's very nervous about it. He's squirming. He's trying to create answers that won't say that. It's so obvious if you just watch it. And that's the reason the mainstream media didn't talk about these hearings in Congress. I think only two newspapers came out and said, look, you know, they put him on the plane on purpose. And I think one was the Detroit News and another paper in New York somewhere. And every, you know, all the other newspapers barely even touched on these hearings, which you think would be a big deal. But anyway, just another piece of the puzzle, a big piece. But this is another piece early on.
The ongoing airport, the controversy over the airport naked body scanners, the TSA gropings. I mean, this continues to be a major story. A lot of people are rebelling against this, are throwing a fit about it, and yet this very incident. It's just not even talked about anymore. You know, you'd mentioned in your article that you wrote on your blog there that the news media has been scrubbing stories from the press.
Yeah, you know, the Detroit Free Press, they're a very corrupt newspaper, at least in regards to the story. They put out, they have a long list of all their stories. You can go on the Internet and archive, go read all these stories. They selectively choose underwear bomber stories that they're going to delete. And each one they delete backs up my theory on the case, which I haven't even completely said yet. But my theory is the government put Umar on the plane intentionally, took him around security, and they provided him with an intentionally defective bomb. That's my theory on the case. I'm quite convinced that I'm correct. That's my theory on the case. But anything that supports my theory, the Free Press either doesn't report. I've had numerous interviews with them, with their reporters, and then once the story gets to higher up editors, they don't put the story in their paper. And not only that, when they realize they print something that supports my theory on the case, they later delete it off their website. But they keep much older articles that support the government's version. It's a very, very corrupt situation. So back to what I was talking about earlier. So now we have the testimony by Patrick Kennedy, which totally shows that President Obama's lying when he said this was a series of mistakes to get him on the flight. So at least we have that. We don't quite have an admission that they put him on the plane intentionally, but very close to that. But here I am wondering, still, did they give him a bomb and try and kill me, my own government? At this point, I didn't have the answer to that. But what gave me the answer was these two stories in 2010.
Okay, let's hold it right
bomber,
there.
The Wrigley Field bomber.
We have another break here at the bottom of the hour break. We have a longer segment straight ahead. After the break, I'll give you the floor, Kurt. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
All right, we're back. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. And my guest today is Kurt Haskell, and next hour we're going to be visiting with Bob Chapman. We're going to talk about the crisis in Greece and government seizure of 401ks coming down the pipe. But right now we're talking with Kurt Haskell. And Kurt, I want to give you the floor and give you the opportunity to talk about whatever you want to talk about and touch the important points there.
So go ahead. Sure, great. Great. I was just saying, in 2010, we have the Portland Christmas tree bombing. And we had the Wrigley Field bombing. Now, two other supposed terrorist plots. But what's important from these two stories is we have admissions by the FBI that they provided both of these men with intentionally defective bombs. And when I read these stories, I said, aha, that's what happened here. Because I was really puzzled here as to whether my government gave Umar a live bomb to kill me. And that's not what happened. So now we have a pattern here, the FBI giving out intentionally defective bombs. And that was a major piece in the puzzle to me that kind of ties it all together. But later on, a few months after these stories happened, Umar's appointed a so-called standby attorney, Mr. Anthony Chambers. Now, what a standby attorney is kind of a helper. He's not the real attorney. He helps Umar, you know, with evidence and legal questions and that sort of thing. And if Umar decides he's going to have an attorney, well, this will be the person. And he came out to the Free Press, interestingly. This is one of the articles that's now erased. I think it was January this year, maybe December last year. And he said, you know, I've looked at the testimony from the experts that the government has hired in regards to the bomb, And the government's own experts say that this bomb could not have exploded because it lacked a blasting cap. It was impossibly defective, I think is what he said.
Now who said that?
Standby attorney saying this. Okay. Standby attorney Anthony Chambers.
Okay.
He's saying he looked at this evidence, and the government's own experts are saying this. So, again, more confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I contacted Mr. Chambers. I wanted to make sure, he knew what my thoughts were on the case. And I said, look, I sent him a fax. I said, here's my theory on the case. I think Umar was given an intentionally defective bomb, escorted through security, da-da-da-da, what I've told you here today. He immediately called me back and said, let's meet. I want to talk about this. And I talked to him a couple times on the phone, and then we set up a meeting in his office where we met for about 3 hours and discussed this. And due to the protective order over the evidence, he couldn't tell me a whole lot. But I said, I'm sure you've taken a look in my blog. And he said, actually, we're not getting a lot of information from Umar, and we actually learned a lot about the case from your blog, and we're actually constructing our defense theories off of things you posted on your blog. So that was kind of flattering to me. It was incredible. And he said, I fully expect that I'm going to be the regular attorney on this case by the time the trial happens. And, we're going to use an entrapment defense, and you'll be one of the main witnesses. And I said, okay, let me know. That's not what has happened. Umar is still representing himself, and he's still standby at this point. But I said in my meeting with Mr. Chambers, I said, look, I can file a civil case here and sue the government for a violation of my constitutional rights. Knowing what you know, the evidence you looked at, I know you can't tell me a whole lot. Knowing what I witnessed and what I've told you, if you were in my position, would you file the case? And he said, file it. Mind you, I have to win my case, I have to prove that the government acted intentionally to harm me.
Mm-hmm.
Or the harm to me was mental harm, fright, and post-traumatic stress disorder. But anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting. He told me to file my civil case. So that, again, it's pretty telling.
I was just going to point out that how unbelievable it is that, you have the defense attorney learning the facts of the case so he can mount a defense from the blog of an eyewitness.
It's incredible.
It's astounding to me.
It is, but it goes to show you the lack of information he's getting from Umar, which is another question as to why that's happening.
So you have evidence being covered up on both sides of this case. You have the prosecution delaying evidence or not releasing it at all, which you would think for anybody prosecuting a case, withholding evidence would be the last thing in the world they would want to do. But
be that as
it may, they're covering up, and then you've got Umar, who is the defendant in the case, not even talking to his attorney.
Exactly, his standby attorney, but yes. And speaking of the covering up of evidence, I have something interesting to say on that, too. Now, I started going to these hearings, because obviously, this is a very interesting thing to me, and I went on July 7th to the hearing, and this hearing was scheduled because Chambers, again, acting only as helper, asked that the trial be delayed. The trial set to start October 4th. And he said, look, I need some more time. And this is the reason he said he needed more time. He said, I've just been dumped a lot of evidence from the prosecution. Here we are 18 months into the case, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just getting this. And he says, this is the most significant evidence of this case. And I need to hire some experts. I need to go through this more thoroughly. I need more time. And he said, this is what I just got. Remember what my theory on this case is. Here's what he says he just got in June 2011, a copy of Umar's passport, okay? Again, remember what my theory is. I think they took some time to actually create one, but whatever. A disc containing chemical analysis of the composition of the bomb. Airport security video and audio. 4 disc of DNA analysis. I'm not sure how that ties in. And number 5, okay, you'll have to pay close attention to what this is. a witness statement from a Dutch non-law enforcement citizen, government profiler, who talked to Umar during the time in question. Now, I had to think about this one. Dutch, okay, non-law enforcement, okay. Government profiler, I'm thinking, who's this government profiler who talked to Umar during the time in question? Okay, at Amsterdam, they have one more level of security we don't have here in the U.S. They have a question and answer session by a security or profiler person. And I think that's who this is. And I think what this is the sharp-dressed man. He was the one asking Umar the questions at security. But look, they're just turning his statement over in June 2011. Perfect timing, so Chambers can't hire experts or analyze this or question him before the trial. You know, all these things tie into what my theory is on the case. You know, and they give him this evidence last minute so he can't properly prepare the case. But then the judge denies the request, and Chambers gets a little irritated, and here's what he says. How do I know they're not hiding more evidence that they haven't turned over to me, Judge? I demand that they turn over all the evidence, you know, so that I have it. And here I am expecting the prosecution to say, we've turned everything over already. That's not what they say. They say, yeah, we have more evidence, but it's top secret, or I don't know if they said secret or top secret, and we're not turning it over. And Judge Edmonds then says, well, you have to show it to me, and I'm going to decide what they can look at and what they can't. So why, again, more evidence that's being hidden, and again, why is there secret or top secret information if we just have this Al-Qaeda nut, you know, going to light a bomb off?
Right.
It doesn't make a lot of sense here, people. There's over 200 witnesses that saw him light it. All you'd have to do would be to call us into trial and say, that's the guy, and he goes away for life there. There's more going on here than meets the eye. That's for sure.
Yeah, you know, one thing that, and I want to make it clear, you're not a conspiracy theorist. The last time I had you and your wife on the program, you were very reluctant to even go down any kind of conspiratorial role, you know, avenue, as I recall. The only thing that your whole thing was you just wanted an honest and open investigation of this thing because you guys almost died in this situation.
And, exactly.
You, as the weeks and months dragged on, you've witnessed the stonewalling and blatant in-your-face cover-up to the point where you really have no other logical place to go but this conclusion.
Well, exactly. I think if your listeners just listen to everything I've said here today, what other conclusion can I draw? I'm just going in the direction that the evidence has pointed me to. Now, there's mountains of evidence that supports what my theory on this case is. You're right. Initially, I just thought, hey, I'm helping the government here catch accomplices. You know, I want them to be able to catch this sharp-dressed man guy. He should be one of the most wanted people in the country. And it's only after month after month after month of these things coming out and me putting all the pieces to the puzzle together do I come to this theory. Mm-hmm. And, by the way, Umar is charged with conspiracy. You know, so this is a conspiracy.
Isn't that something?
And
they're denying the existence of any accomplices, and yet he's charged with conspiracy.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is they didn't charge him with conspiracy initially. It took approximately a year for this charge to be held against them. And in my opinion, the reason they did that, they didn't want to say this was a conspiracy because by definition, conspiracy includes involvement of more than one person.
Sure.
So it was only after a year of plea negotiations, after they broke down, and just to get a little off topic, Chambers told me that the prosecution just wants this case to go away. And they're offering very, very lenient punishment to Umar in the plea deals, and Umar turned it down. Interesting about that point anyway. But it was only after he turned down all the plea deals that the conspiracy charge was brought. And again, you hardly see any of the media talking about the conspiracy charge. But you would think these people would be some of the most wanted people in the world, the co-conspirators to this. We should have their pictures in the FBI 10 most wanted list. They should be shown all over the internet and TV. You know, we should be trying to catch these people. Not a peep. There's not a peep anywhere about who they are, how they're involved. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. And the reason there's nothing is because what I'm telling you is true. The co-conspirators are undercover U.S. intelligence agents, and they can't be exposed. That's exactly what it is. So, again, more evidence showing to what my theory is on this case.
Yeah.
I just have mounds of evidence on this.
All right. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Ted in Michigan. Ted, you're on with Kurt Haskell.
Yes. First, Kurt, I really congratulate you and thank you very much for being a good American and exposing what you know and being strong. I'm glad that you're also putting out all this on the airwaves so everybody will know and you will become less and less endangered. And I hope you somehow or another have all this recorded and squirreled away so that, you know, if something does ever happen to you, your testimony and your comments will be viewed in a court situation. But getting back to the fake bomb, that may be been a fake bomb, but had there not been diligence there and that fire got away, everybody on that plane could have been killed if the fire got too intense. With the oxygen that they carry that would help kindle that fire, you really were in great jeopardy with what their plan was. And I don't think we should underscore the fact that it was a fake bomb.
I think the reason why he's pointing that out is because had the plane been destroyed, they wouldn't have been able to come out and say all this stuff like, hey, looky here. This guy's hiding a bomb in his pants. We need this security. Because, you know, Michael Chertoff of the Chertoff Group, you know, he's profiting from this, isn't he, Kurt?
He is. I don't know to what extent, but
right. We have a video up on the website that connects all those dots right now. So anybody wanting more information about that, you can go to governamerica.com and take a look at the video down. I think it's down the last one in that column there where the videos are. But, you know, there's
right.
profiteers from those tied to Homeland Security, and I'm sure that's probably just the tip of the iceberg anyway.
Kurt, you're right. Can I just mention something real quick on that? That goes to the why the government would give him an intentionally defective bomb, which I didn't really get into. But part of the why is because if it was a real bomb, the plane would have been destroyed. There would be no evidence as to how the bomb got on, where it was, you know, there'd just be little pieces of everything. We wouldn't know that it was in his underwear. So to roll in these body scanners because this bomb was in an underwear, we needed a failed terrorist attack so we could say, look, this bomb was in his underwear. We have to have these body scanners so we can look in everyone's underwear and so this doesn't happen again. So that's
great,
part of the why here.
Great analogy. That's great analogy, Kurt. Let me ask you something. Are you an attorney?
Yes.
Well, this is the first time I've ever complimented an attorney. I'm surprised that your bar association or whatever you belong to isn't coming down on you to back out of this thing. Because
I don't think they would, because I'll just expose it further. What are they going to say? What are they going to say? I don't have the evidence? I do have the evidence.
And yeah. I'll tell you what, you're a guy after my own heart. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Hang in there.
Thanks, Ted. I appreciate the call. And one thing that endeared me to these folks is they mentioned right on their blog that other attorneys annoy them. Politicians,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Maureen and I don't like a lot of attorneys. You know, we're not your normal attorneys. We're just regular people.
Yeah,
you
know, I appreciate that. I'm sure that, and that comes through too. By the way, it also adds to the credibility of what you're saying here. I'll tell you what, we have another call here. Dan in Kentucky. We're almost up to the clock, but Dan, go right ahead.
Hi, Darren.
Hi.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah. great show, Darren Kurt. Was that sharply dressed man ever seen with Obama in India?
No, he wasn't. I've never seen him again. I never have.
Well, there ought to be some kind of security facial recognition or something that they can pin down who he is.
Well, they have video of it. Amsterdam Airport has the most video cameras of any airport in the world. And if you notice what I was saying, what evidence was just turned over to Chambers in June of this year, part of it was the video and audio from the Amsterdam Airport. They have the video of the guy. They just won't show it to anybody. It's under protective order by order of Judge Edmonds that no one can see it or talk about it.
Yeah. Great. Good luck to you.
Hey, thanks, Dan. Appreciate the call there, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right, Kurt, we have another break here. We have a short segment straight ahead. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
All right, we're in the home stretch of this hour. We're finishing up with Kurt Haskell. In a few minutes, we're going to be bringing up Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster to talk about, well, another form of terrorism, the financial terrorism that is being engineered around the world and here in the U.S., and we'll get into that a little bit in the next hour. But, Kurt, I just want to say I appreciate your courage. I appreciate you coming forward. I appreciate you getting this information out. And I just want to say also that any time as this trial goes forward, you're welcome on this program anytime. I want you to keep us updated as to exactly anytime anything develops. In this case, I'd like you to come on. You got my number. I'd like you to give me a call and come on and keep this audience updated. Anything else that you wanted to touch on? The floor is yours.
Yeah, how much time do we have, Darren?
Well, we got about a few minutes left.
Okay. Yeah, just a couple things. So the trial's coming up soon. Opening arguments start October 11th. I'm going to try and go to as many of the court hearings as possible. They expect it to last 1 to 2 months, I think. So obviously I won't be able to go every day. But being a victim, I have reserved seating, so I get in the courtroom if I'm there. So that's kind of nice. I expect the trial to be a total farce. Remember, he's still representing himself. Chambers has no say at all as to what the defense is, what witnesses are called or anything like that, or what evidence is presented. So you have Umar, who's, I expect, and again, I now think Umar is in on this. Whether it's due, whether he was in on it all along or whether he's been bribed or threatened or something, I think he's in on it now. Obviously, he's not taking a full attorney, and I doubt that he'll even use the entrapment defense. So I expect it to be a farce, and you can see that by how he acted at the last hearing a few days ago. This is a guy that's been very meek and quiet and non-threatening all along, and at the last hearing, he comes in the courtroom yelling, "Osama is alive," refusing to stand when the judge comes in the courtroom, refusing to button up his shirt. Totally out of character for him. So I think he's being told now to make a scene now that the media is watching more as the trial's getting clear so they can really report what kind of nut this guy is. So I think it's you're going to see more of that as the trial happens. We'll see if I'm right here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, so it's kind of the crazy defense then.
I think he's just going to say, "I didn't do it," and that crazy. I think that's what you're going to see out of the trial, and there won't be any entrapment defense, although that's the most legitimate defense that there is.
Now, you being an attorney, do you know anything special about this judge?
No, I really don't. No, ironically, I've only met her one time, and ironically, it was when my wife was sworn into the bar. You have to take an oath to become a lawyer. And we were sent in front of Judge Edmonds. I was a lawyer sponsor to get sworn in. She took her oath in Judge Edmonds' chambers, and we got to talk to her for a few minutes then. And then our lives are put back, you know, in front of her by this story later on. Don't really know much about her except she's a Bush appointee and supposedly very conservative. But personally, I don't really know her other
That's
than
interesting.
That. Yeah, as we're closing out here, one last thing I want to point out, and I don't talk about this a whole lot. The guy that sat in the seat next to Umar, his name's Jay Howard. You don't hear about him much. You think he would have a lot to add to this. He only did one interview. It was with NPR. And I'm not saying Jay Howard was involved with this. I don't think he was. But if you go look at his interview, he says, "The government's telling me not to talk about this, and there are certain things about this they're telling me I shouldn't say." And then he makes a comment that there was never really any real threat to Umar anyway. And think about that for a minute. How does he know that? Does he know early on that this was a defective bomb in some kind of staged plot? So the transcript of this interview is on the internet. And if he does, did Umar tell him that?
Yeah,
or did the government tell him that?
That's very interesting.
That comment is really puzzling. But, you know, I read the other day the transcript of his NPR interview.
Okay, I'll tell you what,
really
Kurt. I'll hold you over for the first segment of the next hour, okay? Because we're out of time. So just hang in there for just a moment. We'll finish up with you in the first segment, and then we'll cut you loose. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back hour number 3 straight ahead.
The next round of the